Late one night, a burglar broke into the house, and it was empty. And he tiptoed through the living room, and he suddenly froze when he heard a loud, raspy voice. "Jesus is watching you," said the voice. Silence returned to the house. So the burglar crept forward again. "Jesus is watching you," the voice boomed. The burglar stopped dead in his tracks. He was frightened. Frantically, he looked all around. And in the dark corner, he spotted a bird cage. And in the cage was a parrot. And he asked the parrot, "Was that you who said Jesus is watching me?" "Yes," said the parrot. The burglar breathed a sigh of relief and asked the parrot, "What's your name?" "Clarence," said the parrot. "That's a dumb name for a parrot," sneered the burglar. "What idiot named you Clarence?" And the parrot said, "The same idiot who named the Rottweiler Jesus." Some of you may have heard that one before. But in preparing for my sermon this morning, I sat with my son and my husband, and I was telling them of my excitement and thrill to be here. And my husband said, "Well, you know, every good preacher starts with a good joke." And so I felt like I should start. Not that the joke has anything to do with our sermon this morning. Mark focuses on an empty tomb and the fear of the first witnesses. Luke, on the appearance of the risen Jesus to the disciples and Jesus' ascension and their preparation and witness. And John focuses on a series of appearances of the resurrected Christ, especially Peter. Matthew depicts the resurrected Jesus' commissioning the disciples for a mission. It seems each gospel writer has their own take on resurrection as ascension. The disciples did as the angel had instructed them. They went to Galilee. Remember, in Matthew's gospel, the disciples who go to the mountain have not seen any of the Easter drama. They have not seen an earthquake or an angel descending. They have not seen the risen Jesus or heard his voice. Their reputations will soon be tarnished by rumors that they have perpetrated a hoax, that they have stolen the Christ, and that the Christ is now with them. They will be accused. And the angel came to them from the woman's voice. "Go to Galilee." So they go, drudging northward from Jerusalem to Galilee, not knowing whether the woman's word would be true. To set out on this journey into an unseen future with only a word is a characterization of discipleship. It seems fitting that the disciples were sent to Galilee. Galilee was where it all began. And as we have read this last bit in Matthew, it is where it ends. It isn't easy to imagine their journey, but it must have been memorable. It was the ultimate road trip, filled with a long conversation focused on making sense of the mind-bending events that had transpired, wondering aloud what would have happened. This moment with Jesus would be an important time for them. We all struggle to comprehend the incredible work of God in Christ. Having reunited with Jesus in Galilee, the disciples respond to somewhat peculiar requests from Jesus. Upon Jesus, they worship. Some stand in doubt, and some worship. This part we understand. It makes sense that given the circumstances that the disciples would actually worship Jesus. However, there are also doubts. I keep trying to put myself in the place of the disciples. Their world has been turned upside down. Their Christ has been crucified. They know nothing. They know not of the angel that came. They know not of the earthquake. All they know is that their worlds are different. Their world has been rocked. What has to be true for the future or was true for the future is gone. Their precious Jesus has been crucified, and they now don't know about the risen Christ. I think I too would have doubted with them. Jesus tells them what he had always heard as that what we have always heard as the Great Commission. We typically hear it during times of mission conferences, missionaries that come in town with their slideshows. We hear about the Great Commission. Intriguing word that's set before us is that we hear, all the authority has been invested in me. An intriguing word, all. Richard Benton, a commentary writer, shares with us that there are four alls in this text. Jesus has all authority given to him. We are to make disciples of all nations. We are to teach that we should obey all that he commanded during his early life. And the promise that closes is that he will always be with us. These four alls capture much of what the paragraph intended to communicate and the central message of the Gospel of Matthew. So I think what Christ told the disciples to do is obvious. Go therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Jesus' ministry was primarily limited to Jewish people throughout Matthew's gospel. Still, here, the boundaries are not expanded to include all humanity. The boundaries are excluded to mean all nations, and I said that wrong. All humanity is to be included in the discipleship. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, they are to baptize in the name of the Trinity. This baptism becomes the initiation ritual that symbolizes and marks the moment from death to life. Now take a moment and think about your own baptism. Was it as an infant? Was it believer's baptism at some early age, or perhaps in your teens? Was it an adult baptism? Think about your baptism. Did your parents decide for you when you were to be an infant that you were to be baptized? Did you come to believer's baptism on your own? I remember my baptism very vividly. When I visited a few weeks ago, I spoke of my friend Phyllis. Phyllis and I were baptized together. I remember the pastor's classes that we took, coming before the church and confessing my faith. I remember being invited to Phyllis's house the night before. and everything was laid out. The lovely green dress with the collar and the embroidery on it. I remember the little white shoes that we had picked out. I remember packing my swimsuit, because to get into the baptistry meant you needed to be wet, and of course you needed a swimsuit. I remember going into the baptistry. I remember wet. I remember the white robe. I remember the handkerchief that the pastor held over my nose and mouth as he dipped me into the water. And I think he held me just a little too long. But when he lifted me up, it was that renewal, that death to life sense. I remember the deaconesses coming and helping us dry and put our dresses back on and stand before the church to take our very first communion. I remember it so vividly. Do you remember yours? It was a new beginning, a change in my life. I remember thinking, I have to live differently now. I belong to Jesus. And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you means not just what I commanded you in my resurrection, but what I commanded throughout my ministry, Jesus said. Remember, the greatest one of all is to love thy neighbor as thyself. That was one of the commandments that Jesus had told us to do. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is probably one of the most comforting statements in Scripture. Jesus, as Lord of all, promises to be with us as individuals, us as the church, always, even until the final end of everything. What does this mean? The Great Commission, what does this mean for us? Go therefore, as Christ told them. What's our role? What are we to do with the Great Commission? We're not Christ, but we are Christ-like. How are we to move forward and go therefore and make disciples? Jesus told us the greatest commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. How do we do that? How do we go about making disciples? How do we go about loving our neighbors? I think of ways that we make life that commandment, how we go about loving our neighbor and making disciples. One of the primary ways we do is we teach others about the love of Jesus. In being here this morning, just in worship together, we come and we know that it is that Christ that we worship. And it is that Christ that we talk about to our friends, that we share through our own lives. We go about making disciples by being here to worship, talking about our faith, living our life as Christ would have us live, volunteering, providing food, attending Sunday school, singing about your faith, working at camp, teaching children and youth, visiting the sick and shut in. Go therefore, make disciples. Go therefore and love thy neighbor. Visiting the sick and the shut in, giving to the church, giving to outreach. All of these are ways that we go about making disciples. It is our responsibility. to go, to make disciples, to love thy neighbor and do it through the way that we live our lives. Go, therefore, and be the person that God has called you to be.